Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
I'm Deborah Brady. I am a United Methodist pastor serving First United Methodist Church in Modesto. And I just returned to this church in July after being gone for 8 years, but I served it for 11 years before that. So it's a community I know pretty well. My pronouns are she, her.
Excellent. Thanks so much. And so today we're going to look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Will you read that for us?
Yes, indeed. This is subtitled The Message to Smyrna. Write this to the angel of the church in Smyrna. These are the words of the one who is the first and the last, who died and came back to life. I know your hardship and poverty, though you are actually rich. I also know the hurtful things that have been spoken about you by those who say they are Jews, though they are not, but are really Satan's synagogue. Don't be afraid of what you are going to suffer. Look, the devil is going to throw some of you into prison in order to test you. You will suffer hardship for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you can hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Those who emerge victorious won't be hurt by the second death.
So I've invited you here to talk about a really easy passage, you know? What kind of comes to you when you first look at this?
You know, I have a lot of baggage about Revelation just from my own personal discipleship, having been raised in a fundamentalist dispensational church. And so I was formed around interpreting Revelation. So it's hard for me to come to a specific passage without like all of this stuff about Revelation. And so I think I've zigged and zagged over the years of like stepping back and ignoring this to like trying to look at the spirit of this book, to coming back around to trying to enter the imagination for the prophetic word it has for us today. And so, you know, given our political context globally, I think about the ways that this passage is meant to speak by people who know oppression by the empire. And I think it's always tempting for those of us who don't know political persecution, whose lives aren't being threatened, for us to stand back and just make this a metaphor, a spiritual metaphor. And certainly those can be powerful ways to look at this, right? But I think, you know, when I think about the church in the Ukraine right now, for example, or we can pick a lot of other places where people, even who aren't Christians, but, you know, we can relate to populations being oppressed by the empire, that this unveiling, this apocalyptic text speaks to them. And so, I think the first time I read this text this morning, I was thinking first about, you know, on a more personal nature, maybe even because of COVID, feeling like that's been the oppressive force in our lives, to talk about like that experience of where things look okay on the outside, but they're not. Like, though you're actually rich, I see your hardship and poverty. And like, I think this passage, it's asking us though to hold like the fullness of things, not either or, but both. And you're actually rich and you may not realize it. And also I'm speaking to you in compassion because I see the hardship and poverty, the affliction of what you're going through. Right.
I think that's really helpful, right? To say like, okay, like, both can be true. And I think that's often where it is hard for me, right? I am an either or gal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Up, down, right, wrong, whatever.
Yeah.
And life is really messy. And most of the time, we're in the messiness and hold the paradox, right? I think it takes a kind of spiritual maturity and energy to hold paradox. And this text asks us to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also love this piece that says, like, look, the devil's going to throw you some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer hardship for 10 days, but be faithful. Yeah. Like, I feel like that is, I mean, particularly for those under, I don't want to say actual oppression, as if, you know, the things I see are not real, but oppression to the point where your actual life is in danger. And what a message that is. Like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's going to be impossible. Mm-hmm. And keep going. Right. Stay the course.
Exactly. I was thinking about how when we're in the midst of suffering, it's like being in a blender. Like we're spinning around and being chopped up, and it's really hard to get orientation. And one of the things that when I saw this about Satan is going to throw some of you in prison, about how does suffering come about? How does it that Satan or the devil, whichever translation we want to use, has authority to do anything to me, like throw me in prison, right? But it reminds me of like the book of Job about Jesus. We just had at the beginning of Lent, going to the wilderness to be tested by the devil. And even when Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he's had this ecstatic experience and says, to keep me from being too elated, I was given this thorn in my flesh. But then he talks about it being tormented by the devil. And so you go like, well, is God doing this to keep you humble or is the devil doing it? And when we're in the middle of suffering, it is really hard to tell. Like,
yeah,
like it, we can say, God, this is testing me. It's helping me get clarity on my values, my priorities, and what ultimately is important in my life. But it feels like Satan doing it to me, like, but it could be used by God. And I find that ambivalence in this text, right? Because, you know, I just would say it speaks to the way that life is full of suffering and there is a presence of evil, right? That oppress us through no fault of our own. We get caught up in these systems. And so I think it's acknowledging that, but it's also saying you can endure. Even if you, to the point of death, you still endure because there's something on the other side. Right. So it speaks to the flavor of martyrdom, right? That people experience whose lives actually are threatened still today. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, we talk about dysregulation a lot in my house because I have foster kids. And so the key is to co-regulate, to help them to find regulation and knowing that, like, if I am dysregulated, I cannot co-regulate. And I think about the ways that when we are dysregulated, mm-hmm. we cannot think rationally. Like we actually cannot, right? It's like basement brain.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's true when we are in suffering, it is hard to think rationally. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that even when we are being irrational, mm-hmm. God says like, I'm still with you.
Yes.
I think that's really important. And, you know, I do think it's difficult for me because I don't think that God or the devil or the accuser, you know, whatever this character is, I don't think they actually test us, right? I think like things happen in our lives that are absolutely like a test of our character. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's because like it's sent to test us. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's important to think about it as like an opportunity to be faithful, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's I like what you're saying. And I think it's a, a way of speaking about the fact that we always will experience suffering as part of the human condition, right? And sometimes, I mean, suffering does break people.
Yeah.
And I hear this as a word of encouragement while we're in this point in very simple language. I mean, this doesn't go on and on and give long explanations, right? It's like acknowledging the truth of what's happening. You're not making this up. You're trapped. You're being threatened. It's hard, but it's for a period, and you can be faithful. Be faithful, even to the point of death, because there is something on the other side, and it can be redemptive in our lives. It can be woven together for good in some way.
I love that. I think that is the good word, right? No matter what, your experience is real. It's it's hard.
Right.
And stay faithful.
Yeah, right. Something you said just reminds me that, you know, sometimes the suffering I have is made worse by the story I tell myself in my mind about it. Absolutely. Like something happens, but I make it worse because I start mind reading people's motivations, or it taps into some brokenness or insecurity in me, and I start making it into a bigger story. And so to come back to a place to say, what is true about the situation? This is what I know. And this is hard. I don't need to make it worse by these other stories, but to come in here. And there's a way that this text gets in this. I was curious about I know the hurtful things that have been spoken about you. And that's also another truth telling. You know, this particular passage, a lot of our Christian scriptures can be used in anti-Semitic ways. So it says, by those who say they're Jews, even though they're not. It's like what I substitute in there is by the people who have credentials in your life, by the people who have power, by the people who are in charge of defining things, right? Whatever system that is, there are people, and they're saying hurtful things about you, right? I know, I see that. I see it. And how is it that we withstand when the people who have power are undermining us in this way, even to a point of making life dangerous for us?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it, as you spoke, it just reminded me of this. I think when I perceive that somebody is being served an injustice, I mean, even if it's like a small thing, my tendency is to kind of, you know, get my hackles up and try to take control of the situation on their behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think like you can't take control, right? Like the powers that be may not listen to you.
That's right.
Because I always think like, oh, I can just convince them. And then when I don't, I'm so disappointed and so distraught, and I spiral, and like this says, like, you're not in control. And it may not be easy, but it will be good.
Right. I do like the power of these words to speak powerfully into suffering. It names a different kind. It about the call to endure and persevere and come out the other side.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I think that's the word for us, right? Keep going.
Yeah.
And you are seen.
You're seen.
I think that
it's
matters.
A validation. I see you, all of you. And I am validating that what you're going through is hard.
Absolutely.
It's like, who doesn't need to have a word like that?
Yeah.
Right now. We all do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Will you pray for us?
I will pray for us, Sam. Oh God, we are grateful for the powerful and relevant ways your Spirit speaks to us through these ancient texts. We are at some distance from its original context, and yet we are connected because we are human beings striving to be full. We are human beings who know what it means to suffer. And we need the powerful word of encouragement to, that we are seen, that we are known, that we are loved, that we can endure faithfully and really claim the crown of life you promised to us. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I appreciate you being here.
Yay, Sam. I'm so grateful for your good work here.